want to encourage you to plan to be here and find somebody and get them to come. There's some powerful messages in the book of Nehemiah. I was reading through it as I'm doing my reading. How many of you are readers? Okay, you like to read. If you sit down with a good book, you can read how many pages in one sitting? Well, I mean, you know, for you, I can read 5 pages. I can read 50 pages. I can read. Listen to y'all. Stayed up all night and finished. Shelton's a lazy reader. He listens to it on CD. He waits till they come out on CD, books on disc. That's all right, too. I've done that many times when I used to be a truck driver. I'd listen to books all the time that I was driving. I love to do that. Here's what I'm getting at, because as I'm just reading through, I found out something. Now, I have a lot of Bibles. That don't mean nothing. You know, a lot of people have a lot of Bibles, do nothing with them. But I have a studying Bible, I have a preaching Bible, and I have a reading Bible. Now my reading Bible is the Bible, you know, I want to sit down and I can see it fairly good, at least with these. It's real clear. And there's actually not a lot of helps in that Bible. It's just the Bible. It's just the words mostly. And that Bible is just under 1200 pages long. I found out if I'll just read 40 pages a day, I'm reading through the whole Bible every month. The whole Bible. Just 40 pages. Now, that may be a little different for you. If you use a study Bible for your reading Bible, and then yours is a lot bigger. My study Bible is 1,800 pages. And so you're going to have to compensate for that. But you know, 40 pages, that's not a whole lot. And I'm not a fast reader. Not a fast reader at all. But you know, that's pretty cool. But I was reading through Nehemiah. And that's one of those, like Gail was saying, boy, once you get into there, you don't want to put it down. You don't even look at the 40-page limit or anything like that. You get into something. And I was getting in it. So I want to encourage you to come. And we're titling this series, Rebuilding the Walls. Rebuilding the Walls. That's going to start next week. But today, here's what Mr. David did. Mr. David, and I'm not preaching his funeral. I'm going to preach what God wants me to preach today. But I have to tell you why. Because Mr. David was a unique individual. Everybody knows that. There's no secret to that. But one thing about him is that Mr. David was enthusiastic about everything he did. But boy, was he enthusiastic about his relationship with the Lord and his church family. He loved you without question. I mean, he did. He loved you. And Mr. David, and I will say this at the funeral, Mr. David's one of those, they say he was here every day, every time the doors were open. Mm-mm. Mr. David was here when the doors weren't even open. I pulled up one morning, and again, I'm going to tell you, you're getting an advance of what I want to share Tuesday, but I pulled up one morning early, and Mr. David was sitting out in the parking lot, and it was a weekday. I said, Mr. David, what you doing? He said, I thought we was doing something this morning. I said, not that I know of, unless they didn't tell me about it. He said, well, I thought the men was getting together to do something. And I said, Mr. David, I don't know a thing about it. He said, well, I reckon I'll go back to the house then. And I said, all right. I said, if I find out otherwise, I'll call you. And he was enthusiastic. All you had to say was, we got a project to do. He was there. All you had to say was Bible school, he was there. And Mr. David was the kind of person that didn't have to be the head. He didn't have to be the face. He just wanted to be a part of it because of enthusiasm. Now we're going to go back to Psalm 122 verse 1. And it's one that all of us know and so few practice. You know it best in King James. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Holman says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I wanted to read that first this time before we pray, because I want you to be thinking about that as we pray. Let's go to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the memory of anyone that will stir us to action. And Lord God, we pray that right now we would remember you and what you have taught us and what you're teaching us today. Lord, I ask that you would open us up to receive what the Holy Spirit of God has for us this day. If there's a lost person here today, a person who's uncertain of their salvation, clear that up for them, Lord God, today. Draw them to You for certainty of their salvation. God, I pray that You would, the rest of us, excite us, give us enthusiasm. I ask it in Jesus. Amen and amen. You know, I actually preached on enthusiasm 3 years ago, and I used this verse to get us started, but I could not get it out of my mind because of Mr. David, and I thought about him. He struggled sometimes, but he was always up. He would smile, and there was never a time that I said, "Hey, Mr. David, how you doing?" And, "Well, I reckon I'll do it." He was always good. "I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful." He'd get mad at me. There are only two times that I know of Mr. David got mad at me. And again, I'm giving away some of my material. But number one, he'd get mad at me if I didn't come when he told me the collards were ready, because he wanted me to get collards. Number two, he got mad at me one day because we did have a project, Willie. And it was early. We were getting started early. And I went to David said, "Pick me up, Mr. Kentz." And I said, "I will." And I went to his house, and it was early enough that I knew everybody, Janie and all them, were in the bed. And I wasn't going to beat on a door or anything. So I pulled up and I lightly blew the horn. Nobody came. And I lightly blew the horn again. Nobody came. I waited a few minutes and I blew the horn a little less lightly. I mean, I made sure somebody could hear it. Nobody came. And I left. I thought, well, I'm not going to wake up the whole house. Just to, you know, because Mr. David may have overslept. He is in the bathroom and couldn't get to me quick enough. And he said, "Mr. Kentz, I can't believe you left me." I said, "Mr. David, I can't believe you knew I was there." I said, "I just didn't know it." He wasn't really mad at me, but he reminded me. He let me know that I had left him. Why? Because he is enthusiastic about his faith. And it didn't matter whether it was worshiping or building a wheelchair or a wheelchair ramp or doing anything like this. Now I want you to do me a favor, and please everybody participate. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to think, I want you to think about this, and I want you to be able to focus, to imagine a vivid picture. And here's my question: about what are you enthusiastic? Now, what picture comes to your mind? What is there in your life that creates enthusiasm? Does anything pop up there? Are you thinking about something? Is something coming as an image? Ralph Waldo Emerson said, and I want you to continue to focus. He says, "Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm." Now, you know, that's not scripture, but that's theology. That's good theology. Straight from the Word of God. You can look at me now, and I hope you've got something in your pick. But here's why I think that enthusiasm is so important, because it's not, enthusiasm is not excitement. They're different. I can become excited and yet not be enthusiastic. And here's why. Because according to Webster, the word enthusiasm comes from two Greek words which literally mean in God. In God. And I think that's why Mr. David was enthusiastic. He is in God. I don't know what happened to him 50 years ago. I don't know anything about him. Don't know what he did, where he was, what he was doing. I don't know nothing about him. But I know for the last 10 years where he was and what he was doing, what he was thinking, and how he was serving and where he was ministering. And I know that it was because he was enthusiastic in God. The sad thing is, in our world, many people get excited about going to a ball game or a golf event. We were watching the Open on television. There are thousands of people walking up and down the golf course, traipsing through the bushes and the jungles and everything else, tearing up the golf course, following their favorite person. Because they're excited about that. But according to the definition of enthusiastic, they're not enthusiastic because they don't have anything to do about God. Much as I love the golf course, I don't ever get there, but it would be nice to get to play once in a while. But people can get so excited about it. Some be thrilled at getting a new set of clothes. They get very excited. And I believe it's time that the church realize what enthusiasm is and that we develop enthusiasm as we should. Because if you know Jesus, you're in God through Christ. Many of us say, in Christ. I've been doing some studying on that. And the truth of the matter is I'm not as much in Christ as I am in God through Christ. You see, God baptizes me, baptizo, here, babto is what God does. God doesn't do this. We do that. That's the Greek word baptizo. We go through the baptismal waters. But God baptos us. And there's a reference of being placed in. Now see, in baptizo, there's a reference of going in and coming out. Water baptism. You wouldn't want babto in the baptistry. Because if you did that, we'd put you in. I wouldn't take you out. You wouldn't be around very long. But see, when God baptizes us, it's with the Holy Spirit of God, and He baptizes us into Himself as His family. And so if I'm really in God, then I should be enthusiastic. People get up on Sunday morning and talk, oh, I got to get up early. I sure would love to sleep late. I got to get up early and I got to go to church. If your attitude is you got to go to church, stay home. Stay home. Because God wants us to come together to celebrate being in Him. And that takes enthusiasm. That's why when David woke up, he said, I was glad. Hey, you know, in the Hebrew calendar, they don't have days like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They have day, they call it real original, y'all. In the old Hebrew, they call it day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day Sabbath, Yom Sabaoth. It's the only day that has a name different than just seven. It's Sabbath. It means it's holy, set apart, day Sabaoth. So we don't know whether this happened all the time or whatever, but I know that it had such a profound effect on David that all of a sudden he had the need to begin Psalm 122 with this realization, this fact. This is the day he's been awakened, or maybe he just got up and all of a sudden, wham, the enthusiasm just caught. And as it should with believers, it caught. And he says, this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. And then he says on this particular day, I was glad. I wasn't distraught. I wasn't upset because I had to get up early because it's the only day I have free and I want to sleep late. He says, I was glad when they said to me, because maybe one of his servants came in and said, oh, by the way, old great king, you remember today is Yom Sabaoth. It's the day we're going to worship. And he said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Because there was enthusiasm. A.W. Tozer says, if we evangelicals had one third of the enthusiasm of some of the cults, we could take this continent. And I believe him to be true. Luke chapter 14, verse 34. I want you to write that down or look there. Because this is what happens when we lose our enthusiasm. Jesus says, now salt is good. But if salt should lose its taste, how will it be made salty? If we lose our enthusiasm, how then can we be enthused? It's better to keep something and hold on to it than it is to lose it and have to find it again, isn't it? I know this one thing. There's one thing that bothers me, it upsets me, it gets me frustrated, I lose my keys. Do you ever do that? You don't. Miss Jeannie don't never lose her keys. Always knows where they are. I put mine who knows where. Who knows where? And I know where they are. They're somewhere I'm not. That's where they are. Or maybe I just know where they're not. And they're not where I'm looking for them. And many times I've had to call Lori and say, honey, I know I told you I'd be home 30 minutes ago, but I can't find my keys. I know they're here somewhere because I drove the car to the church. I'm frustrated. It's so much more pleasant to know right where they are. Something you don't have to, like Forrest Gump said, that's good, one less thing. There you go. Sheldon on that TV show says, we have a bowl. I put my keys in a bowl. You should get a bowl. That's what he tells her. You should get a bowl. At least you know where it is. It's so much easier to just have it than to have to find it again. And I believe that is so true with enthusiasm. Charles Schwab, who's the American industrialist who began U.S. Steel Corporation, said this, you can succeed at almost anything for which you have unlimited enthusiasm. Norman Vincent Peale said this, years wrinkle the skin, but lack of enthusiasm wrinkles the soul. Henry David Thoreau said this, none are so old as those who have outlived enthusiasm. Folks, you, if you're here today and you have made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, then you have something to be enthusiastic about. And it shouldn't be something that you put on with the coat on Sunday morning and bring to church with you. It should be there every day. Although the psalmist said, I was glad or I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I believe every day was the day, were the other days that he got up and he just said, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because he had enthusiasm. Why was he called a man after God's own heart? Because he had enthusiasm. Why was he struggling to seek God all the time, even through the deepest sin of his life? Because he had enthusiasm. Many times we grab our enthusiasm, we put it on, we bring it to church. When we get out of here, we put it back in the glove compartment or up on a shelf at the house, and you can't tell the haves from the have-nots all through the week. What else does the Bible say about enthusiasm? I'm going to bring some up on the screen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10a, and I'm just going to read through these very quick. Y'all write them down if you want to go back. He says, whatever your hands find to do, do with all your strength. And you could interpret that as with enthusiasm. The word's not there, the concept is. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, do not lack diligence. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Be fervent. That's enthusiastic, excited. Don't get up and say, oh, I got to teach Sunday school class again. Say, my Lord, have mercy. You have blessed me with the greatest ability of the whole world, and that is to bring the Word of God to the world. That ought to create enthusiasm. We ought to be excited. I got to move. Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. If that doesn't interpret as enthusiasm, nothing does. Love Him with everything you are and everything you have. That'll bring enthusiasm. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Therefore, run in such a way that you may run. You got to run with what? Enthusiasm. Knowing I'm in God. And then Colossians 3, verse 23 uses the word, whatever you do. I want to say that again. Whatever you do, whether it's coming to church, whether it's working at the office supply store, whether it is doing yard work out in your house, whether it's doing a repair at a hog house or at the nursing home or whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for man. Do you ever think about that? When you go out there and you give an honest day's work for an honest day's wage, you're doing it as unto the Lord. When you feed your family, you're doing it as unto the Lord. That's why it's so important that we not invite God out of the truck or out of the car when we go on our recreational things. Lord, I know I give you Sunday and I'll do a project every now and then, but I want some me time. No, we don't need me time. We need us time. Time with me and God. And if you're going somewhere that you don't feel like you can take God with you, stay at home. Enthusiasm. Now, some points I want to bring, and they're not very long at all. Listen to me. Jesus, and this is why it's so important, Jesus created enthusiasm. He did it everywhere he went. At the triumphal entry in Jerusalem, Mark 11:9 said, the Bible says, then those who went ahead and those who followed behind shouted, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He created enthusiasm. At his birth, as a little tiny baby, Luke 2:14 says, the angels shouted, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all men, or peace on earth to people he favors. At his birth, he's creating enthusiasm. Everywhere he went, the enthusiasm was contagious. When the Spirit of God really indwells you, it'll transform you from a lukewarm bump on a log to a fiery Christian with enthusiasm. And I want you to be asking yourselves, is this the kind of believer I am? Mr. David was not, first of all, number one, he wasn't perfect. None of us are. Number two, he made mistakes regularly. So do we. So I'm not holding David Howell up as the ideal standard by which we're all judged, because his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. It just does my heart good to be able to look back and say I had a small part in the life of a man who came to know the Lord and knew that God wanted him to stay busy for him. And he did that. Times I'd go to the house and there'd be a bag on my front, on my steps. It was something out of David's garden. He'd just drive all the way down there. He was enthusiastic. It wasn't just that. That grandchild of his that lived way over there on Coley Road, Miss Janie said they'd be at the uptown doing other things. And David would say, we got to go by and get that baby a Happy Meal. And she said we'd have to drive all the way out to Coley Road before we could go home to give that baby a Happy Meal. He is enthusiastic about all the things in his life. Jesus created that enthusiasm. Without Jesus, the best we can muster is worldly excitement. And that passes. That passes. People, here's the next thing. People became enthusiastic about Jesus. The demoniac of Gadara, in Mark 5:20, the Bible says, after God cast the spirit out of him, so he went out and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and they were all amazed. He became enthusiastic. The woman at the well, in John 4:28-29, God showed me something here. It was so funny. So funny. Her job was to carry that bucket, or that pot, and to walk all the way to the well, and then to draw water from the well, fill up that pot, and then put it on her shoulder or on her head, and carry it back. It was a laborious task that was a tough thing to do, but it had to be done because you didn't want to find yourself in your home without water. And there was no spigot to turn on. So she comes to the well, and instead of being concerned about the water, all of a sudden she meets this man whose name is Jesus. And after encountering Jesus, look at what it says in verses 28-29 of chapter 4 of John. Then the woman, what? Left the jar. Left the jar. She forgot what she went for. Why? Because she became enthusiastic about something else. You know, I'm convinced that there are a lot of roads that we travel, and God is trying His best to get us off those roads. He's putting stops up. He's encouraging us. He's directing us, and we're just plowing ahead with our head down. God wants to get us off of what it is we're focused on and on to Him. Because we're in God. That's where the enthusiasm comes. She left the pot. It wasn't important to her anymore. It was going to be later. She's going to have to go back to the well and get her pot and fill it with water. But look, she left her pot water jug, went into town and said, come, see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? Can you imagine anybody saying that without enthusiasm? I mean, nobody's going to walk into town. Come. Y'all see who I met. Oh, people are going to look at you and say, I'm busy. I got my pot. I'm going back to get water. She was enthusiastic because people become enthusiastic about Jesus. The lame man, Peter and John are there in Acts chapter 3. The Bible says, you know, remember that's when Peter said, you know, silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. And the Bible says, so he jumped up. I like that. God put the enthusiasm in him fast. He jumped up, stood, and started to walk, and he entered the temple complex with them, walking, leaping, praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising. Don't you think it's time we joined in on the enthusiasm? How about being the first person to clap? I see poor old Gail sometime, excuse me, Helen. Helen's back there and she's just clapping and ain't nobody clapping around her. But you know what? She don't care. She keeps on clapping. And there's some of you that way. I see you because it encourages me. I know it's a sweet savor to God. Now I'm not saying to you, everybody, every time we sing, clap your hand. Because if it ain't coming from what's within you, you don't need to do it. It's just like I have a pastor friend that I'm convinced now after hearing a whole bunch that one of his shortcomings was he wanted to turn his church into what he wanted it to be. He wanted everybody's hands up praising God all the time. That's not going to happen. If that does happen in a church, in a building, it's manufactured. Because God don't speak to everybody the same way. He doesn't. And I can watch presentations on TV. I watch preachers, and you'll see some churches, there's some, and they're just dancing around. There's some, they're just doing this. Because the Holy Spirit deals with us different because we're all different. But if God is leading you and you don't, you're disobedient. Doesn't matter what the people around you are doing. Let them stand there, not on the log. You praise the Lord if that's what the Spirit of God is leading you to do. Because that's what Jesus stirs up. And here are the last. There are four things and I'm going to just hit them. Bam, bam, bam. Number one, we should be enthusiastic about our salvation. Just plain and simple. I think too many Christians today get over it too quickly. The greatest thing that has ever happened to me was when I got saved. As much as I love that woman right there, it's greater than when I met her. It's greater than when I married her. As many things as I've done in my life, nothing is greater than my salvation. The burden of sin is gone. There's joy and peace and contentment. That ought to bring enthusiasm about my salvation. A new purpose to live for. Even if that one writer said this, even if there were no heaven, it would be worth being a Christian. You know, I need to give him my praise for thanks. And the next one, we should be enthusiastic about seeing others saved. Do you get excited when you hear about somebody coming to Christ? It just reminds me sometimes of that old thing in my home church. You know, somebody gave their heart to the Lord. Wonder what the pleasure of the church is. Motion they be received. God help us. It ain't about somebody joining a church. It's about somebody becoming a part of the family of God through Jesus Christ. Eternal security in heaven. Glory to them. For that, we ought to get excited. When somebody gets saved, and we do, we clap. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am so grateful because that person would have burned in hell had they died 30 minutes before they came to church. Or 30 minutes before you had the opportunity to lead them to Christ. We need to be excited. We should also be enthusiastic about the church and our church. Look around and see how the Lord has blessed us. You don't realize this, and sometimes it's hard to realize it in a church this size, but God has blessed us with 20% growth in the last 6 months. 20%. The average church grows less than 4% a year if they're a growing church. That's why when somebody comes into our doors and they're new here, we don't let them stay new. You get, and I've not said this a lot lately, but for those of you who have come into us, you get to be a guest one time at White's Creek. One time. After that, we consider you part of the family. I mean, you're part of the crowd. You are family. And we mean that, and I mean that in the most sincere way. We need to be concerned about the church, and the only way you can be concerned about the church is be concerned about people, because the church is people. I used to get discouraged years ago, and I'd say, and this was, I was serving another church, and I got in a bad habit, and I'd say, the church would be a great place if it weren't for people. Well, the church would be gone if it weren't for people. The church would be non-existent if it weren't for people, because the church is people, the body of Christ. We should be enthusiastic about our church. Lastly, we should be enthusiastic about the future. We may look and read the newspaper, but folks, like I said last week, when you read the newspaper, you are reading the book of Revelation being revealed. We should be excited about the future, because either we're going to have the opportunity to witness and see people get saved, or we're going to get called home by Jesus himself. Either way, it's all glory. We ought to live like that. We should be excited and enthusiastic. Don't be one of the surprised ones when something exciting happens. Be one of the expecting ones because of your enthusiasm. You know, too many Christians have a crossed finger mentality. I really believe that God's going to move. Kind of hedging my bets there, am I not? If you don't believe it, don't say it. And if you do believe it, you better say it. I believe, I'm excited. I'm excited about the future. Is God going to fill up White's Creek? I don't know, but I know that here soon, He's going to fill up glory. He's going to fill up the New Jerusalem. And there's going to be a time like we have never seen in our life. We should be enthusiastic. We should be positive. We're all going to find what we've all been looking for. And then Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, because of this, based on all this, based on your enthusiasm, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It was hard for me to read that and to even come close to being able to grasp it when I stood there and watched David Howell die. God, how do you expect me to be enthusiastic? And then it came back to me. Hey, there's only one real happy person in this whole building, and it's David. We're all sitting around like we're sucking green persimmons, looking all pitiful, and then it's natural. Because we've lost somebody we love. It was hard to watch. Much as I love the two that walked down here, it was hard not to see David Howell take up the offering this morning. And you know good and well, if he was living, he'd have been there. That was his calling. It was his calling, because David had a servant's heart. He just wanted to help. God help him. I can't even open the front door of the fellowship hall half the time, because he's got so many coats of paint on it. But every time it even got dusty, David had to paint the front doors. Those doors got to be painted. Kent's, Brother Kent's, they don't look good. We got that event coming up. We're going to paint the doors. When are you going to scrape them? They're so thick. But they're thick because of a servant's heart, because of enthusiasm. We need to be enthusiastic. I want to close with this story. There was a young psychologist, because it's all the way that we look at it. See, we can look at it, God's going to take care of me one day, or God's going to take care of me today. God's going to get glory one day, or God's going to get glory now. Depends on the way you look at it, isn't it? There's a young psychology student who was in the Army. He decided that he was going to test a theory. He drew kitchen patrol, or it was time to do KP. And so they put him in charge of distributing the apricots. Now, I don't know how you feel about apricots, but they're the fruit that gets me the least excited. I love peaches, and an apricot to me is a counterfeit peach. It looks like one, but it don't taste like one. It's not as sweet as one. It's harder to chew. So when I see apricots, or when I see what I think's peaches, and I find out they're apricots, I'm disappointed. Well, this young man, he said he was going to do an experiment. So the first group of soldiers came through, and he had his scoop of apricots, and he looked at every soldier, and he said, "You don't want any apricots, do you?" And 90% said no. 90% said no. Well, when it came time for the next group to come in, he said, "I'm going to adjust it a little bit." And so he asked, as they came back, he scooped and he said, "You want apricots, don't you?" And it went from 10% saying yes to 50% said yes. And so when it came time for the third group to came through, he's thinking, you know, with his psychology major mind, he said, "I'm going to try it, change it one more time." And when they began coming through, he said, "Do you want one bowl or two bowls of apricots?" 50% took two bowls, 40% took one bowl, 90% of the guys got apricots, all a matter of the way you look at it. So folks, I want to say to you today, I don't care how pitiful you think your life is. Jesus is Lord, and we need to start looking at it that way. He is on the throne. Is He on the throne of your life? If He is, then there would have to be enthusiasm. You can't serve God. See, this is what I'm getting out of this whole thing. I can't serve God half-hearted. If I'm really serving the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the God of all creation, if I'm really serving Him, then I'll be enthusiastic. I'll be in Him. And everybody will know it. See, everybody knew where David stood. That excites me. And I'm not holding him up as any better than some of you. Some of you, I know your testimony and I see you. But I have to ask, are we all there? Are we all there? Now you say, "Well, we'd never get there." Oh, there are some places we get. And I think we can all get to the point to where we can say, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, regardless of my circumstances, regardless of my trials, regardless of my troubles, regardless of my difficulties, regardless of my challenges. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for what we have that gives us enthusiasm, and that is the presence of the Most High King, Jesus Christ Himself. We are in You, Father, because of Him. Through Him, we have access to the Most High God. Through Him, we have the redemption of our souls. We have the forgiveness of our sin. And God, I pray that You would create in us enthusiasm because of that. Lord, if there's a soul here today who is lost, they don't have any hope. They have maybe hope for a few years here on this earth, but then what? Lord God, I pray that You'd convict them to the point that they would move today, that they would not hesitate, that because of their desire for enthusiasm, to be in God. And so, Lord, move. Move in our lives, in our hearts, in our church, in our community, in our state, in our nation, in our world. And may Jesus Christ be praised. I ask it through Him and His blood and because of Him and for His sake. Amen. I'm going to ask Jackie to come and she's going to play. I want to give you an opportunity. A lot of times we don't sing, and we don't sing because I don't want you to have an excuse for sitting there or standing there. Is God speaking to your heart? Maybe you need to come up here and say, "God, I haven't been enthusiastic about my faith. I've complained, or I've always looked at the negative stuff, or at least recently I've looked at the negative stuff. Things have happened, and I just don't seem to be able to get over it." You can get over it. God will get you over it. Come to the altar and talk to Him. If you're here and you're lost today, as Jackie plays, don't wait. Don't wait for the first person to come out. You be the first person. Be the first person. Set the standard. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Be the first person.